Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
All right, we're live. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, Jim.
Yeah, you've got a very interesting setup, and I've talked to quite a few people, worked with you, and your unconventional ways, and you got a great reputation, just so you know.
Yeah. They think it's unconventional, but it's scientific.
Scientific. Well, that reverse hyper, that machine that you created, I've talked about that 100 times on my podcast. Mm-hmm. That thing has done wonders for my back, and it's just a genius product. You're right? Yeah. Good? It's a genius product. How did you invent that thing?
I invented it out of necessity. I broke my lower back in 1973.
You invented that thing in 73?
Well, I started the exercise, actually about 74 I started the exercise, but I broke my lower back in 73, and I was on crutches for 10 months, and no one was helping me. So I just come out, you know, I do back extensions where you hook your ankles and raise your upper body, but that would kill my back, so I thought, what if I did it in reverse? So I jumped up on a platform, dropped my legs, raised them up, pumped up my back, didn't hurt, and that's how it was, that was the beginning stages of it. And then years later, we've always been a private gym, we're not open to the public. So it was never out in the public, and then I finally made a machine years later and got my first patent in 1994.
How is it that no one knows about that thing? I mean, how is it that it's not a gigantic success? I mean, it's...
Well, we sell over a little bit over 100 a month, 100 machines a month.
Well, I hope I've sold some of them for you.
Oh, you have. I mean, I want to thank you for that. And that's the way, you know, is like, you know, like sex. Once you have it, you got to keep it.
Yeah, I don't remember how I heard about it. I don't remember who initially told me about it, but I was having some disc issues, and they all want to cut you open, man.
Okay.
You go to doctors, they all want to fuse discs and cut you open, and there's all this talk, and I was like, wow, there's got to be another way. So then I started researching stuff, and I don't remember how I came upon the reverse hyper, but I remember as soon as I saw it, I went, wow, that's a genius idea. Because you're just, the idea is, right, that when you're getting a bulging disc, it's because things are getting compressed. So just pull them apart.
Right. We've got another machine, a bell squat machine. We use it for grappling. We actually fight in there. And it's not a reverse hybrid, but it's a traction device as well. So we can do an enormous amount of work, and at the same time, it's restoration.
So what is the other one called?
It's called a bell squat machine.
Bell squat.
It puts you in a platform with a belt around your waist with maybe 100, 200, 300 pounds. And then we grapple, or we shadow spar, or you can do anything. We actually lift weights, and we use an enormous amount of weights. Maybe 2,000 pounds in it. But why it's building up your glutes and all the lower body, it's tractioning out your spine, and it's but the restoration is tremendous. The next day, you don't even know you worked out, but just you've done thousands of pounds of work, and that's why I've got the world's strongest gym.
Wow. So you started out as a power lifter?
Started out as a power lifter. I started Olympic lifting when I was 14. And then I went to my first power meet in 1966 and saw guys was really built, never went back to Olympic lifting again. And then power lifted all my life. Made top 10 for 34 years. That's why I'm so beat up. And I love the sport. I love strength and power. I also love if it's in time or weights, I love it. You know, something you can measure. You know, it's good to be. I don't like to work in football because I'd average 3/10 off 12 linemen going in the NFL. Some win the NFL, some didn't. So you just never know. But I like just basic things, statistics. You know, how strong are you? How fast are you?
Now, for the person who doesn't understand this, what is the difference between powerlifting and Olympic lifting?
Powerlifting, you bench, squat, and deadlift. And Olympic lifting, you clean, jerk, and snatch. Powerlifting is an absolute strength sport. The weight can be very, very slow. And Olympic lifting, because like at a clean, you have two pulls, front squat, and a jerk. Whatever your weakest at, that's what you're limited at. But that's a speed strength sport. And that means velocity. Speed strength is intermediate velocity. My sport is slow velocity. And then if you jump, that's explosive. That's explosive power, and that's measured in fast velocities. If you want to build explosive power, you jump.
And how did you get involved with working with fighters? Because I know you work with Matt Brown, and you worked with a bunch of guys.
Well, not a bunch. Kevin Randleman.
Kevin Randleman.
I started with Kevin Randleman, and trained Kevin, and I experimented. First off, I thought I was afraid I was going to hurt the guy. Then I found you can't hurt these guys. You know, they were hurting me. And then, but that's how I started, and it was fun. And back when Kevin, you know, when he was champion, I don't know when he was. You probably know when he was. Probably around 2000.
Yeah, it was somewhere in that range, somewhere around there. He was the UFC heavyweight champ.
I know. Tried to get, his buddy, Mark Holman down here.
Mm-hmm.
And I never could get Mark down here. I went to his house twice. I thought he was going to kick my ass. I got him all psyched up, and he starts staring me down and rocking back and forth. And I go, holy shit. And then I tried to calm me down to get the hell out of there. And then he said he wanted to talk to me again about a month ago. Oh, my God. So I go back up there. Same thing happened. And then I asked Kevin, I said, Kevin, why do you want to come down? He said, he'd have to train, you know. I mean, I train optimally. I don't train. I'm smart to train optimally. You know, you can't punch yourself out in the first round. You train everything optimally. It's not minimal, not maximal. It's optimal.
So when you would take a guy like Kevin Randleman, like a stud athlete like that, like how would you assess like what optimum is for a guy like that?
Well, that's what he was the first guy I ever had. You know what a freak he was on the men. So Tom works with a lot of guys right now. And, I mean, Kevin was – he was a freak. You saw Kevin.
Yeah.
So – but I would – we do a lot of sled work, upper body and lower body, and a lot of dumbbells for time. Like him and I, he was so upset one time. We tied. I did 107 reps with 75-pound dumbbells in 5 minutes on stability ball, and he tied me.
Wow.
We both did 107 reps, and he was highly upset.
He's one of the best athletes ever in the sport.
Oh, no kidding. Super explosive.
Did he win the UFC heavyweight title?
Yes.
I know he fought Boss Rutten, and I think he lost the title to Boss Rutten. It was a real controversial decision because Boss was hitting him off his back.
He broke Boss's nose, is that right?
I'm sure, yeah. Nose breaks are pretty common.
Yeah.
They happen almost every fight.
Yeah.
At least some sort of break. Almost every fighter has, like, some kind of a deviated septum.
Mm-hmm. You see how fighting is now. Mark was Pride champ and UFC champ, but fighting's changed now. You know that. You every week you're there. I'm only at home in my recliner watching it. So it's so much more sophisticated. I love MMA because it's highly technical. A lot of people, you hear people boo still when they get on the ground. I love the ground game. I love to think. You have to think.
Oh, it's definitely very technical. Well, what's interesting, too, is that there's all these different approaches to strength and conditioning. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you, because one of the things that I had seen was Matt working out with you and your guys, and he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, when you devise a plan, like, for an athlete like a Matt Brown or someone like that, like, do you work with them first and try to figure out what they're capable of and then think about, like, what their style is? Like, obviously, you're going to have a different need if you're a striker versus a grappler.
Well, one thing we do, we try to get them where they're conditioned to do 5 minute rounds and recover in 1 minute. When I worked, everything was 5 minutes and a minute recovery. Some guys I'd run through eight rounds. A lot of guys that was able to do that. I mean, pretty good fighters, 13 wins in pro fights, stuff like that. So just where they're recovery. I want to maximize the amount of work I can do in 5 minutes and then be able to recover in 1 minute and do it again repeatedly. That's all I ever did, work on 5 minute intervals.
So did you work with guys? Did you use heart rate monitors? And, like, how did you decide what to have them do?
I've never done any of that.
Really? Never?
No, my friend John Saylor, he's got Shinnikai Jiu-Jitsu. He's basically started almost really the first MMA school in America, if you think about it, because he was judo, jiu-jitsu, samba, but also striking. And he started in 1985.
Oh, wow.
And he does everything by heart rate, where we do things by percentages. Like I said, we train by rates of velocity. Speed strength, you train at 75 to 85%. He would do heart rates like that. And like if you and I would grapple, if we could talk to each other for a half hour, that'd be optimal. You know, me and you could talk while we're doing it. That's mm-hmm. an optimal heart rate that way. So he kept track of heart rates, kind of basically how we do a percentage of one rep max.
So, meaning that it's optimal if you could still talk while you're doing the exercise.
Yeah, you're training optimally. You know, you're not
right.
Like, you know, that's how I would be. So,
but if you're gonna fight. Like, if you're in a fight and it's a very high-paced fight, it's very likely that you're going to achieve much higher rates of heart rate. You're going to be much more exhausted.
That's right. But, see, that would be optimal. That's how we train our speed day. Like, today, for squatting and deadlifting is optimal. They do 25 squats at one weight and for speed, strength, acceleration, and 20 deadlifts. And then the other day is max effort. And that's what you're talking about, where you go all out in a round. Someone's pushing you. You know, they're trying to take you out, so you got to fight back. So, it always changes. You can't do the same thing. It's called law of accommodation. If you and I grappled at the same rate all the time, I would actually catch up to you. You know, so you'd have to be able to, you know, maximize your potential and run me in the dirt. So that's why you got to have two different days. You know, you can't just do the same type of work all the time. I think that's where a lot of fighters go wrong. They get where they pace themselves too much. You see that with old fighters. You know, old fighters cover up. And you know, I watch fights all my life, from Roberto Duran to Muhammad Ali. I've watched them all. I'm sure you've got to be a big fight fan, and you just see how some people get in a scheduled amount of work per round, and that's when you can beat them. Take them out. You know, in other words, you know, I'm going to make you go at my pace, not you go at my pace. You know, I'm going to follow your pace. I'm going to make you go at mine.
So varying the intensity of the training, varying how you do your training, you think that's very important?
Very important. It has to change all the time.
So does it have to change all the time because the body just adapts and gets efficient?
That's right. That's what I say. That's what the law of accommodation is. You adapt to a training load or stimulus, and if you don't change it, you get no better. You actually go backwards. So you constantly got to change these stimulus. Tom does a lot of stuff with wheelbarrows. We push wheelbarrows around for half a mile running, sometimes heavier weight, walking, get in a belt squat. It's very grueling. And then just maximal strength with the simple things like deadlifts, good mornings. We do a lot of stuff holding the bars in their elbows. Tom hasn't done a lot of that because it's almost like, you know, grappling up, pummeling. And then other times, you know, you got to do quick stuff. So quicker pace stuff. So, you know, that's how fights are. They're never one pace.
Now, how do you, like, create a schedule? Like, say if you're working with a guy and you know.
We don't believe in schedule.
You don't believe in it?
No, even my guys, I had the strongest gym in the world. It's broke about 140 all-time world records. At breakfast, and Tom can verify, at breakfast in the morning at 6 o'clock, 6:30, we decide what we're going to do that day. Because, see, strength's measured in time. It's not measured in weight. It's measured in time. Miro talked about velocities. And so we just pick an exercise. Like for you, if we did a real low box squat and it takes longer than squatting 800 pounds, you're going to squat 800 pounds. You know, if you choke me out, after a while I'm going to tap. Mm-hmm. All right. Or if we run, after a while I'm going to run out of oxygen, I'm going to quit. Same thing for strength. You can only strain so long. So as long as you strain at least that length of time or longer, you're going to break a classical lift, a squat, bench, or deadlift.
I'm not totally sure I understand what you're saying.
Like, why do you have different opponents? You have, when you grapple, you're going to have different opponents, big ones, small ones, fast ones, slow ones, left hand, right hand.
Right.
And so you adapt to all different situations. That's what we do. As long as our training is harder than a contest, we're going to break records. I took a gentleman not long ago, 800-pound squat at 165, top in the world right now, 1880 total, top in the world. I promised him 1 year he'd break the world record. In less than a year, he squatted 890-pound world record and totaled 2080. And we just do it systematically. We run everything in ways. Three for speed. We work on speed, strength, acceleration. And we work, so we go, it's basically 75, 80, 85%. And then on the fourth week, we weigh back and start over. We change the bar. So that way, by changing a safety squat bar, if you know what that is, or even a front squat, we change the length of the spine, you know, without really, you know, you only got one length of the spine, but we do it systematically by using different bars. So your brain has to now think differently because it's got the bar from where it sits on top of your back to your low back is different. So it has to adapt to that every 3 weeks.
So by changing bars and changing like the type of workouts you do, it forces your body to adapt all sorts of different loads,
right.
All sorts of different ways of standing, all sorts of different outputs.
Yeah, we change your leverages, constantly change your leverages. And where the bar has to keep going the same. You know, like your car, I talk about this all the time. You know, if you look at your car, normal car, it shifts at 2,500 RPMs every time it shifts gears. Well, that's optimal horsepower for that car. And so we train it to a certain percentage where the bar speed is optimal for explosive power, or if we want, you know, it's 30, 40%. Like if I want to take you down, I work on 30, 40% weights. If I want to muscle you, I work on 75 to 85% weights. So that'd be strength speed. And if I had to really grind you out, that's why we got to make you stronger. You know how strong grapplers are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work on all speed, all different velocities of strength inside of 1 week. And then where instead of doing high repetitions, like a person like you, let's say your lower back is susceptible to injury, you might have 600-pound legs, but only a 450-pound lower back. So we work individual muscle groups, single joint activity. Like the reverse hyper works your low back, hamstrings, and spinal erectors, right? We got a special machine that works the hamstrings. we got all these different apparatuses that work different parts of your body, so we don't have any muscle imbalances. Like MMA, if you got no stand up, I'm going to stand up with you. If you got no grappling, I'm going to take you. You know, so wherever you, so we work on all these weaknesses, have balances, so we have constant balance of our strengths and abilities and work capacities.
And so, because you don't have a schedule, and because you decide what you're going to do that day, do you just kind of assess like how your athletes are performing and what they're capable of doing given each individual day?
We have records on all kind of things like pin deadlifts or box deadlifts or some kind of squat or some kind of bench. Well, they break the entire gym. Now, there's only maybe 15 guys. It's a private gym. But you break the record over 90% of the time, year in, year out.
So why'd you decide to have a private gym? Like, how come you don't open this up?
I can't stand commercial gyms. I can't stand to be around people that don't. You know, if you're a real fighter, you don't want to be around a bunch of fags, right? I mean, I can't stand to go into a commercial gym. I can't stand it. I just got out. I'll leave in 5 minutes.
Because they're not working out hard enough?
They're not working out hard. They don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, looking in the mirrors, looking at girls' ass and shit like that. I like ass, but when I'm in a gym, I want to work out. Then I'll go look at the ass.
So you just decided to set up this gym. We should do like a little tour of the gym at the end of this.
Iron sharpens iron. You know that.
Right.
So if you run with a limb, you develop a limb. So don't hang around people like that.
And how long have you had this gym for?
Well, I've had a gym. I started training by myself. I had a top toe in the world in 1973 for a while until I broke my back. But I've had a gym with training partners since 1976. Got my first training partner in 1970. It's always been private. It was in my basement, went to my garage. Then we had to start getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, bigger's not better, but we had to get bigger because we started to attract a lot of people that were good. I mean, they're selected to come here, like anybody else. You know, selected.
So they just pay a membership fee or something like that?
I pay everything.
You pay everything?
Yeah.
How do you keep this place running?
This business right here.
Oh, selling books and videos?
Selling books and machines. I don't know. I've got like 11 or 13 patents.
Oh, interesting.
My money comes from royalties from putting my name on different companies.
That's really interesting. So it's like almost the gym itself doesn't bring in any profit. It's just reputation.
No, it costs me probably, I'm guessing, 50 grand a year.
Wow.
When you say? 55,000 a year. The gym costs me 55,000 a year.
Wow. But it's one of the most respected places in the world.
Yeah, there's like no sign. It's the most famous gym. There's no sign. You don't need a sign.
Yeah, we're pulling in here. We're like, where the fuck is this place?
Right.
That's what you like.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. Well, that's about as hardcore as it gets.
It would choke Linda Lovelace.
There's a lot of people like, who the fuck is Linda?
That's right. They're not that old.
Back in the day. Do you still power lift yourself?
No. I had to quit 5 years ago. I mean, I kept, but my neck gave out. When I was 63, I did a 730 squat in the meet, 505 bench, 675 deadlift at 217.
When you're 63?
Yeah.
Wow.
My neck just gave out where I'm starting to pass out all the time. So.
You start passing out all the time?
Yeah, because of my neck.
Like, what's going on? The compressed discs?
Totally. It's basically from my mid-back, from my neck to my mid-back is, like, locked up.
All just from carrying heavy weight?
Heavy squats and heavy, yeah. I was squatting 410 when I was 14 years old.
410 at 14?
Yeah. I cleaned your 260 in the contest of 14 at 140.
Wow. And how old are you now?
I'll be 69 in 2 weeks.
But, so, how old were you when you were saying that you lifted all that weight, the most recent?
63.
And that's when you were done? You're like, that's enough?
I was passing out. You know, I couldn't pass out. And I came off a platform, and I asked my friend, was the squat good? It was 735. And he said, no. I said, what was wrong? But he said, you passed out. I mean, I didn't know. Then I was on Queer Street. I noticed it's real dark, and I never recovered. But I made it through that meet. I made it through two meets. Did 1885 totals. Actually 37th in the world that year.
Wow.
And then, I mean, I thought I could actually total 2,000 pounds if I was doing training weights and squatting the eights. But because you in these contests, you wear gear and it takes longer to get up and down, it's caused me to pass out.
Now, have you ever thought about inventing something that would strengthen the rest of your spine the same way you did the reverse hyper?
I wish, because I've got two devices that definitely work for the lower spine, but I need something for my brain. Right now, I just went through a series of stem cell. I don't know what you got. You get stem cell? I had stem cell in my knee, both hips, and my shoulder, and I just yesterday had platelet injections in my knee and my hip. I got to go back next week, but I get nerve blocks in my neck. You know, I'd love to get my neck well. But I think I also got kicked in my leg. by a kid, a fighter, small one, 135, and he screwed up my knee, so that didn't help me any.
Why did he kick you in the leg?
But I told him to kick me in the head. She shouldn't kick me in the head. Don't kick me in the knee. Kick me in the knee and tore muscle, and basically must be an abductor or a hamstring right above my knee.
Were you guys sparring or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm stupid. I like doing this.
So you still spar?
No.
I
can barely get around now. I mean, I had a fracture skull 13. A guy hit me in the hip with a baseball 13. And broke a jaw and broke a hand by 18. You know, you didn't have MMA back then.
Have you thought about inventing something that would sort of like strengthen the cervical spine and lengthen it the same way the reverse hyper did?
You know, I got involved with a lot of things. We're going to introduce a machine October 21st. Going to absolutely change strength training as the world knows it. It's called a static dynamic developer. It will change the world's
static dynamic developer. Yeah. And what is that going to do?
Well, it's like if I hold elbow on you, you know, I'll get pressure on your arm and slide your elbow in. I have a machine that's going to hold you like I throw a punch. Hold it, then let it go by a button.
I'm not sure.
You do a judo. You ever see judo toss where a guy, they'll throw you in the crash pad, like one will hold you down while the other guy tries to throw, and then the guy lets go.
Yes.
Same thing, just like that. What if I had a machine? I have a machine that can do that.
Oh. Interesting.
So you can pull like as hard as you can and can't budge me, and I release if you throw me.
Is it possible to develop something like a reverse hyper that works on some sort of a neck brace? Like a similar type of movement?
We've done reverse hypers with neck harnesses.
Yeah?
Yeah, where you're working the very top of your spine to the very bottom of your spine.
Now, how would that? So you do the reverse hyper
with a neck harness on.
To people who are just listening to this, what a reverse hyper is like, say, a table. If you put your upper body on a table and your lower body was suspended underneath the table, like hanging underneath the table, you would attach your ankles to this harness that's like a leg curl attachment, and you lift your legs up straight, and then when you let your legs down, it's pulling on your spine. So it's active decompression.
Right.
And what would you do with your neck?
We put a neck harness on. So when you're down, when you raise up, when you raise your feet, we also raise our upper body. And then so when we do that, if you use the neck harness, you're working the very top of your spine right up to the atlas all the way down to SI.
So would it be a neck harness like with weights on it?
Yes.
Okay, so just like a regular neck harness, like where you would hang your weights down, you do
right.
Like...
Yeah, so when you pick up your feet, you pick up your head as well. You drop it down back and forth.
That's interesting. That seems like a great idea.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, I bet you do. Well, I mean, as soon as I saw that reverse hyper machine, I was like, well, how come this isn't used constantly? Because it totally makes sense. It strengthens the back in a very strange way. Like, I brought in a bunch of people that have had back issues, and they just try it once, and they go, whoa. I'm like, yeah, why the fuck is this thing not everywhere?
Well, it's marketing, you know. Tom Berry here does all marketing, but, you know, we're just starting, and I never tried to market. I didn't care. I didn't care about my business. I cared about my gym. I cared about my gym all my life.
It's one of the most common injuries for people who lift weights or for people who grapple.
That's right.
Like, I know a lot of fighters who have either have had discectomies where they take a chunk out of your disc, or they're getting disc replacements now. A lot of guys are getting disc replacements because they've developed some pretty new technology in Europe where they have these articulating titanium discs, and they just cut out all the gelatinous substance between the discs, and they put this articulating mechanical disc in there, and guys are getting great relief, and they're able to start fighting again.
Wow.
I know Rick Story has two of them in his neck. Quite a few guys have had these things done where their back was just too fucked up and they just couldn't do anything. And so now they're actually replacing discs.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
But with you, they wanted to fuse you, right?
I had two doctors in 2005 who wouldn't operate on me, so it was too dangerous. Now, it was 11 years ago.
Why too dangerous?
I don't know. It was at Ohio State. They sent me to two surgeons at Ohio State and he wouldn't operate on me. You wonder why it was, because I was living on NyQuil and Tylenol PMs.
So it was too dangerous because you were taking so many pain pills?
No, they said it was, at the time, the procedures they had, they thought it was more dangerous not to operate on me than to leave me alone. But, I mean, they weren't going through. I mean, I've been tricked. I've had chest tubes. I have a thoracic outlet. I went to my doctor here in town.
What's a thoracic outlet?
Thoracic outlet is when a lot of people have open heart surgery, so you can't put your hands over your head anymore. I went to my doctor. He had me put my hand over my head and raise my head, and my pulse stopped. Because it basically goes in and touches the carotid artery.
What?
Stop my, yes.
So when you would raise your hands over your head, it would compress your carotid artery.
Yes.
What's causing it to do that? I don't understand.
Because it would push. Whatever's doing, it would just cut the oxygen. See, if you wanted to tap me out, you just push my head backwards and I'll go to sleep for you.
That
can't
sounds
go
like
head backwards anymore.
Powerlifting sounds fucking terrible for you.
Well, you know, if you had grappled guys that weigh 170 all your life, I grappled with guys that weigh 920.
Well, not well, yeah. Exactly what it's like, right?
That's yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, if you win an unlimited tournament and you get some 285-pound monster on your ass,
mm-hmm.
same thing. Weights get bigger and bigger. It's you burn a candle both ends, so you know the weights eat you alive.
But you don't sound like you have any regrets whatsoever.
I have no regrets. If I hadn't been beat up and all my life, I would have never learned what I learned. You know, people make fun of me. Say, "Oh, you broke your back in '73. You broke your back." Well, you know, I have no bicep. Tore my bicep off in '79.
Whoa!
Yeah, tore this one off. It's knotted up right here. That's where your bicep ties into your forearm. See that?
So both your biceps have been torn off.
Yeah, and it never stopped me. I tore this one off totally, and they told me I was done. 6 months later, I won a national championship, third biggest total ever made.
Pull that. Let me see what that looks like again. So it's gone.
It's gone.
You have no bicep.
No, right here. See?
That's insane. So you don't do curls?
I do very few curls. You know, curls don't matter for us.
Curls for the girls.
That's right.
Right.
It's all extensions.
Right.
All extension.
Wow.
But that's how I learned. You know, how you going to learn?
So when you tore it, you didn't even think about getting surgery to get it reattached?
I went to three surgeons. Two said operate, and one said, if you don't care what it looks like, don't operate. And I said, I'm not operating.
Wow.
So, but you know, I said 6 months later, made the third highest total ever made my weight class.
And then how'd you fuck up the other one?
Believe it or not, when I tore my patella tendon in half, I'd never done curls, like you said. Yeah, I ruptured my patella in half.
And, Jesus Christ.
My kneecap is over here. So I was doing curls, and I tore my freaking bicep in the gym. I was so bored, I couldn't hardly do anything.
So you were so bored because you tore your patella, you say, well, let me try these curls, and then you wind up blowing your bicep off.
That's right. I tore my patella. I was never going to lift it again because I was 43 at that point, and I'd done about everything that I was going to do. And then 4 years later, I had a kid who was training me. He's a world record holder, 20 years old, in the bench 728. And I told him, I says, Kenny, I said, man, I'm going to come out of retirement and squat 7 before you ever bench 7 again. He said, old man, you'll never have 7 pounds on your back again. That brought me out of retirement right then. I did 7, 8s, and 9s. I was second biggest squat in the world at 50 years old. At the fourth biggest total.
Just because someone brought it up to you, you're like,
hey, you run your mouth, you know. The good thing was he made me do that, but he never did break that bench record. So I'm always thankful for. I'm very motivated by anything. I'm a highly motivated person.
Now you've also been real open about steroids,
yeah.
Which I think is very commendable because it's one of those things in the world of powerlifting, the world of bodybuilding, and even in the world of fighting, it's a dirty, dark secret that people like to keep to themselves.
But your grandpa can take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. I believe in my opinion, you should pass the physical. No one has the right to tell you what to do in this world. When it comes time to die, I'm the one that's got to die. So when it's time for me to live, let me lead the life I want to live.
But what do you think in terms of the problem with a lot of people have, the problem they see with using steroids in sports is it's going to force young people to use steroids to be able to compete with the people that are using them.
They do it anyhow.
Yeah. But if everybody's forced to be clean, then they don't. Like what we're doing now with the UFC, you wear like the USADA, the people that have stepped in, Jeff Nowitzki running that program, the guy who caught Lance Armstrong.
Well, actually, Lance Armstrong was never caught, right? He passed 25 tests for 7 years in a row and never was tested. See, it's not against the rules to take drugs. It's against the rules to get caught taking drugs.
That's a fucking loophole.
Yeah, so if you got a good doctor, you're on the crap, and I'm not. So that's why there should be no. You know, Tyson Fury said, make it an even playing field, stop the drug test. I'd say the same thing. And we're not all born with the same amount of testosterone.
That's true.
I mean, when I was a kid, if I was born today, I would be in prison. You're not telling me these some of those fighters have got way more testosterone than other fighters.
That's true.
They're not born the same amount. So the only thing you could, why not, training? You got a better, if you got a better, if you could kick my ass because you do jiu-jitsu and shit, and I don't do any. But that don't mean you're tougher than me. That just means you had a better coach than me. So are you cheating me?
That's a good point. But if two guys do have the same coaches and they do have similar body types and one guy's taking steroids, he's going to have an advantage, right?
But isn't that pharmaceutical? What you look at, you watch TV, every 5 minutes you got a drug commercial on.
Right.
I'll be 69. Let's take all the guys. I'm 68. I'll be 69 too. Let's take all the health medication off 68-year-olds. I'll be the only one left on earth. I don't have any ailment. Tom will tell you, my problem is I go to the doctor. They just know there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. I just beat the crap out of myself physically. I don't have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. I don't have anything. And so let's just take all the drugs away. Let all the old 68-year-old guys die off this planet.
Well,
I'll be the only one left.
For
I'll
a guy like
all the old women.
Yeah. Well, for a guy like you who's not competing, and well, see, one of the arguments for fighting is that steroids allow you to do more damage to your opponent, and that is one of the reasons why steroids should be illegal. It's because you can train harder, you have more endurance, and not just steroids, but things like EPO and a bunch of other stuff. You'll have more energy in a fight, and you could possibly land more blows, possibly wind up beating someone that you wouldn't be able to beat and do damage to them. So it's different in a lot of ways.
But why wouldn't a person take a sports for, you know, it's called PEDs, performance enhancing drugs.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do that in sports?
Well, because they would think of it as cheating.
Well, who does?
Well, a lot of people do.
How many guys have cried their eyes out but to get caught? Then they cry like bitches and they lie.
Right.
Baseball players. They never took drugs, you get caught and they cry like bitches.
Right.
That's what I don't like. Just tell the, you know, I tell people, I've never read the Bible, but I see them billboards on the freeway says, I shall not lie. Just quit lying and come out and say, I take droids. You know, the NFL, why would you be in a sport like the NFL? You know what drugs do is for recovery.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
You know, I can give my strongest people I've ever seen. I've seen weak guys take more drugs than anyone I've ever had in my gym.
Really?
Yeah. Drugs don't make you strong. You're born that way. You're born fast. You're born slow. You're born with an attitude. No, you're not.
Well, that's the big misconception about steroids, right, is that they make you bigger. The work makes you bigger.
It's the recovery.
Right.
They cause you to recover to do more workouts.
Right.
So everyone doesn't want to do workouts. How many people, you know, say they want to be an MMA fighter until they get in a cage one time.
Right.
And they never get, like Coleman told me, Mark said, he had a million wrestlers when he had Hammer House here. As soon as they got armbarred one time, they never came back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But there's a mild benefit to taking testosterone and a bunch of other stuff without doing any physical work. But almost all of it is in the fact that you could put in more work and you recover far quicker than the average person.
Yeah, but see, that way, if everyone took it, you're not cheating. You know, you got a Corvette. You don't have to put high test gas in.
Right. But don't you think that, like, it also, but for young guys, it can fuck up your endocrine system and fucks up your body's production of testosterone.
So what? That's what HCG's for. You got a smart doctor, you take HCG. Everybody takes HCG because your nuts will shrink up. Because if you take roids, you take tests, you're taking more than Mother Nature told you, so your nuts shrink up. Well, they're morons anyhow, because if you took HCG, your nuts wouldn't shrink up.
HCG. What does that
human
stand for?
Human gonadotropic hormone. Okay. It raises all your hormones. But in sports, there's no sportsmanship in sports. If me and you were to fight in front of a big crowd, half the crowd would want me to knock you out, and the other half of the crowd would want you to knock me out. Is that sportsmanship?
Well, that's just people. I mean, but
that's sportsmanship.
But sportsmanship is supposed to be the athletes competing without cheating. I mean, if there was a pill that you could take that made you invulnerable, it gave you like a god pill, and you took it and you went into a fight, and the other guy thought he was fighting a man, but you're invulnerable. No one can hurt you. You can't be hurt, and you don't get tired.
Would steroids
and you have
still,
superhuman strength.
That's a good point. Would steroids still be illegal at that point?
Well, it would be better than steroids.
Exactly.
It would be like a super steroid. But, I mean, wouldn't you think that would be cheating?
No.
No?
No.
But, well, then nobody can beat anybody. You just beat the fuck out of each other and nothing would ever happen.
Heaven and hell is right here. It all starts up in your brain.
Man, see, I kind of could see how you could make that argument with other sports. But with fighting, I mean, fighting is about... Because fighting is problem solving with dire physical consequences. I mean, that's what it is. And if you can minimize those consequences through drugs, a lot of people would think that would be cheating.
I look at it like this. I look at the Diaz brothers. I'm guessing they got a lot of testosterone. I don't know who in the hell their dad was, but he must have had a lot of testosterone.
Well, it's interesting. Those guys eat vegan for the most part. I think Nate eats fish and eggs, too. I don't even know if Nick eats fish. He might have in the past, but I don't think he does anymore. I think he's pretty much vegan, which most people that eat vegan have lower testosterone because the substrate for developing testosterone is fats, is like cholesterol and fats are one of the most important. It's like when people get on ketogenic diets, one of the more interesting things that happens when they consume a large amount of fats and saturated fats and cholesterol is that their testosterone goes way up.
Unless your weightlifters on high cholesterol diets.
Yes. So I don't necessarily know if those guys have high testosterone. What they do have is high endurance. Their endurance is through the roof.
Right.
But a lot of that is because they participate in triathlons, a lot of endurance running, endurance swimming, biking, things along those lines. So
you still have to have the brain thought to go kick someone's ass.
Right. But don't you think that Ronda Rousey has that brain thought too? She doesn't have any testosterone. Well, I mean, she has some, but not a lot. You know what I mean?
But more than other girls.
Yeah, but not more than men.
How about Cyborg?
Well, that's a little different.
Well,
see, that's the argument for steroids right there. That's the argument because she actually has been caught. She's actually tested positive.
And obviously, she's passing the test now, right?
Yes, but you know as well as I do that when a woman takes male hormones for a long period of time, even if they get off of them, there's benefits that they keep forever.
It's the same thing with men.
Yes.
And just because you're passing a drug test, I won't say who, but I trained a top international shot putter. He could go off handlebar in 8 days and pass a drug test. IOC. Said IOC. See, that's just...
It's only 8 days you can get off?
8 days on handlebar.
So handlebar is one of the quickest ones to get off of, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, hell, I forget to take stuff for 8 days.
So the benefits unquestionably are permanent, or at least some of them are.
What I think about, you know, what you're looking at a fighter's career as you see it in an envelope. And then when a day that tough fighter retires, you forget about him. But what about the years later after a fighter's career? If he was on anabolics, he would survive the fighting years and be able to continue his older years like me.
So... What you're saying is that
longevity. See,
well, longevity post career. I totally understand that. And a lot of fighters believe that as well, like testosterone replacement, growth hormone therapy for guys who have retired. But while they're competing themselves, they don't want to do anything because they don't want to think that the reason why they accomplished those goals is because they were taking drugs.
I can shoot tons of roids in someone's ass. Ain't gonna make them kick my ass.
It's not going to make them kick their ass, but there's no question that some fighters fight better when they're taking steroids.
Well, how about on just a nutritionist? Let's just cut out the nutritionist.
Yeah, but the nutritionist, look, everybody knows how to eat healthy. I mean, if you're eating healthy and you're training hard, but one guy's taking steroids and one guy's not, there's a giant advantage for the guy who's taking steroids.
I just know too many people take steroids, and then you pass a drug test. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right. Well,
I don't bring up any names.
I understand, and I know you're not, but that's one of the reasons why the UFC has instituted this incredibly invasive USADA policy, where they'll wake you up at 6:30 in the morning.
Well, how'd you like that, watching piss in a cup?
I don't like it.
Exactly.
But that's the only way to catch people.
I'll never go with the drug test. I don't think the NFL should have drug tests. I don't think any of them should.
I think there's a good argument there. You know, first of all, it's a good argument for baseball, because baseball, no one's getting hurt. In the NFL, you can make the argument that you're able to hurt guys more, and then that damages them, and it shortens their career. But baseball, there's no argument, in my opinion. Baseball is boring as fuck.
Well,
I mean, some people like it. I get it. But what I'm saying is, like, if you got a drug that lets you hit more balls over the fence, take that. That's the only thing interesting about baseball is home runs.
I think it goes so how do you let that sport get away with it? You know what I'm saying? Why not make it legal for all? You know, like, baseball's a funny thing. You know, if you hit less than 50 home runs, I guess you're drug free. But you start hitting 51, you're on roids, right? It seems like that's what the sport. And they talk about the steroid era.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking drugs in 1960. So who are they trying to kid?
Were they?
Yeah, St. Louis. You know, it was a football team. You know, the Raiders. I've heard stories. Or I think it's even documented on ESPN. They were going in and had D-ball tabs on the training table. All right. Well, you know what I just say to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the baseball team, the A's, the Athletics. Well, it's like if they're in the same town, it's like Siamese twins. You're having sex with one of the girls. You're having sex with both the girls.
What?
No, did any If no one tested, they knew football players were taking it.
Right.
In Oakland, but why wouldn't the baseball players be taking it right down the street?
Yeah, they probably would. But do you think that people were thinking of steroids as being like that kind of power being a crucial aspect of baseball back then?
I think what it was, sure.
But baseball is more of a skill game, don't you think?
Did anyone ever test Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, Hank Aaron?
You think Hank Aaron was doing steroids?
Of course.
They had steroids back then?
They had steroids in 1939.
But were athletes taking them, though?
Exactly. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
If a football team was taking it, why wouldn't a baseball team take it?
So
we got these sports announcers, all geeks anyhow. They never did a goddamn thing in their life.
Right.
But they're also hypocritical, and they got these ideas, and they're probably taking
testosterone
therapy as it is.
Yeah.
I was at a Paramy one time, and this doctor's there, big fat guy. He's talking about how bad roids are, so I'm just listening to him. And then my friend says, "What's that patch on here?" He says, "Oh, that's a testosterone patch." What kind of thinking is that? I mean, it's a true story.
Well, there's a lot of hypocritical thinking when it comes to that stuff, for sure. It's just it's an interesting debate, and a lot of people think that you should be able to do whatever you want, like the Pride Days. During the Pride Days, which in my opinion were some of the most exciting all-time mixed martial arts fights, those guys did whatever the fuck they wanted, and the Japanese literally told them, like, in their contract, we will not test you for steroids. They told them that.
Look at horse racing.
Yeah. Right.
Dog racing.
Yeah.
But everybody, that's okay, so they just don't worry about that.
Well, equipoise, right? Equipoise is equa. It's like got horse in the fucking title.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something that people take, and it's a hormone for steroids, for horses.
Exactly.
Now, so you don't think there's anything negative, but there's obviously got to be some drawbacks to steroids, right?
I went on anabolics in January 1970. 1970. And so what is this, 2016?
Yeah.
I've never been off.
You've never been off in 46 years?
No.
That's insane.
No.
You just stay on them?
That's right.
No cycling?
Why would I go off?
To tell everybody you're off them, I guess.
Exactly. And I go out there and tell the truth. I don't lie.
Do people get upset at you that you're so honest about it?
I don't give a damn if they upset at me.
But I'm just curious. You know,
the only
never
kind
come
of respect that counts is self-respect. I don't give a hell about these geeks. They're not doing crap.
Right.
They suck when they were kids. They suck when they're at middle age. And they suck when they're old. That's how I look at it. Our damn prison will be on roids. The whole country will be on roids. We wouldn't be putting our world, wouldn't be in the shape it's in today if they had some nuts.
But if they had nuts, they wouldn't need steroids, right? Because the nuts
let's just say some aggression.
Right, some aggression.
Yeah.
So
my friend was a psychologist, and he would test people in prisons, rapists and murderers. He said he had tested some, had 25 times the rate of testosterone a normal man does.
25 times.
That's why I say, you know,
how's that even possible?
Well, why are they out there raping people? Why are they killing people with no remorse? Because they got an enormous amount of testosterone. He said that he saw that's why they probably did it. He didn't, you can't do that stuff. He realized that, but he thought that's why they would be on a course to do stuff like that. It's just absolutely crazy. You take, look at elephants. You know, these elephants, what do they call it when they just ease out testosterone and out killing each other and knocking down villagers and everything.
So the world needs more of that?
Well, I think it needs more because look at you know what? When I was a kid, just 10% gay. Now they say there's
34%
gay? 34%
gay. Who the fuck says that?
But colleges. Go look it up. I believe it.
There's no way.
Too many boy bands.
Oh, okay. There's no way it's 34% gay.
34%.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I'm sure someone probably...
Of course, they got testosterone because look at Jeffrey Dahmer. He's out there killing people.
Well, he was gay, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But I don't think... I don't necessarily think that's a testosterone thing, right? That's a sociopath, psychopath thing.
Who knows? Yeah, don't say that.
Well, I don't think... Well, I'm not talking about the gay part. The other part, eating people.
Yeah. Crazy ass.
I mean... Mm-hmm. But that's not a good argument for testosterone. If you're saying that prisoners and rapists and murderers have a lot of it, so
everybody's got a lot of opinions about roids. But I've seen probably 1,000 people on roids over the years.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe more. Right.
That's right. The ones who took the most drugs were not always the strongest. Actually, the strong guys didn't take that much. And a lot of them, and then, I mean, lesser guys take a ton of shit, but they just can't. They're just not strong.
Well, isn't there also a point of diminishing returns where, like, taking too much of it throws your body out of balance to the point where you're not going to recover correctly because your body's constantly dealing with this?
And it makes you crazy.
Right.
You can't concentrate.
Yeah, that's a real problem that people don't want to admit, that roid rage isn't a real thing. I've seen it. It's real. It's 100% real.
I don't think there's such a thing, roid rage.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, you said it makes you crazy.
Yeah, but I don't see the little... If a little guy's... You know, there's plenty of fighters who would fight a 300-pound guy.
Because they're just crazy,
because
period.
They're crazy.
Right.
You know, it's not because they're on roids, they're fucking crazy.
Right, but when people are taking too much steroids and it makes you crazy...
A little guy's not going to jump on a big guy and get his ass crazy, you know, because of roid rage. He'll do it because he was born that way to do it. You're born... There's two kind of people, prey and predator. You'll find out which one you are real quick. You're a prey or predator.
Well, Louie, you're in this, like... very insulated world in a lot of ways, right? Because you're constantly around these savages. You're constantly around dudes that are just fucking lifting crazy heavy weights, very manly men. A lot of guys are doing steroids. A lot of guys are lifting weights. Like, that's your world. Like, this is the these are the type of people that you surround yourself with. A lot of people that are listening to this right now are like, this guy's fucking crazy. Who's this guy with no biceps and been on steroids for 40 years? Like, this guy's a maniac.
I don't know. I mean, I was born to do something, and I did it. I've never strayed from the way. I've done one thing all my life. I'm going to do it to the day I die. I'm not ever going to quit what I do. Every day I'm going to try to make me better or someone else better. That's what I do. That's the only thing I've ever done, and I'll never quit it.
Well, for you, for a guy...
If you was in my gym, I would find a way to make you a better grappler.
That's I believe you job. Would. I believe you would.
Yeah, that's my job.
I believe you would. Now, being 68 years old, if it wasn't for all your debilitating injuries that you've gotten from lifting crazy amounts of weight, you look great. I mean, you look very healthy. Like
very healthy.
Like, you have energy. You're very, you know, you're on top. You're on the ball when I'm talking to you. Like, do you attribute a lot of that to taking steroids, that it
Absolutely.
Gives you that energy?
If it wasn't for testosterone, I mean, Lord, I'm not saying I might be dead, but I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be talking to me. You wouldn't know who Louis Simmons was. I mean, I broke my back in 73. I had no training partners. I was on crutches for 10 months. Every day I'd get down in my basement, I looked at a mirror, had a mirror and an AM radio, and I looked in that mirror and said, how am I going to get better? What I got to do every day? To this day. I mean, I kept going until, I mean, you just can't pass out and kill me and two guys with me, you know? So that's what got me out of my sport.
Anybody who's listening to this and hears that pounding on the roof, that's Ohio rain, folks. Metal ceiling on the roof. So it's nice for us in California. We don't get any rain ever. It's nice to be down here, get some rain. So what stuff do you take?
I mean,
right now, yeah.
Just testosterone.
Just testosterone. What have you taken?
Normally when I would train, I would take a Dynabol tablets. You know, I just did tests. You talk about equipoise. I like equipoise.
Uh-huh.
Drugs like that.
What about human growth hormone?
Human growth hormone is a waste of time. Doesn't work.
It's a waste of time?
Yep.
How so?
Well, you know, I took growth hormone as human growth before HIV came out, and right out of cadavers. It's called Crescormin.
Right. That's the stuff that came out of people's brain. They took it out of pituitary glands, right?
That's right. Well, then when they made synthetic growth hormone, they never made somatometin. Somatometin triggers somatotropin, which is growth hormone.
Somatometin? What is
that? Somatometin triggers growth hormone. If you don't have, they never made synthetic somatometin. I mean, people take growth hormone. How many people you know take growth hormone? If you take growth hormone, you have to eat around. A guy your size, you probably have to do 8,000 calories a day. You have blood sugar attacks one after another. People don't do that. Why? Because it doesn't work. And it knocks body fat off. You see people losing body fat? No. It's a joke. It's a more, placebo effect than anything.
So you don't think it helps people recover from things?
I don't think it does anything. I took tons of it. I've been prescribed it. I have a fake shoulder.
A fake shoulder?
Yeah.
What's going on with your shoulder?
I had to have a shoulder replacement.
Wow.
Okay. It froze. I had a frozen shoulder. I had to replace this one. And then, so I got tons of growth hormone. Getting growth hormone, I gave it away. It was a waste.
Wow. Doctors should study you. It seems like everything that's ever gone wrong.
Contest with a fake shoulder.
Really? And what exercise?
Bench press.
You bench press over 500 with a fake shoulder. Did doctors?
I did 24 reps, 100 pound dumbbells. 24 reps, 100 pound dumbbells.
Jesus Christ. That's insane. It's in the mind? Is that what you're saying?
It's all in the mind. You know, there's a book fighters got. I don't remember his name. It's called Pain Don't Matter. Pain really don't matter to me. I'm so freaking used to pain, it don't matter.
But a fake shoulder, like, are you supposed to be able to lift that kind of weight on a fake shoulder? Like, did doctors tell you to be able to go right back to training?
I had it done by the doctor. His name is Dr. Miniacci. He was a Cleveland Browns surgeon at the time. And he basically gave me no instruction. I left the hospital that day. I recovered and I did my own therapy.
He gave you no instruction. He says, all right, you're good.
He knew. He literally, it was new at the time. He kind of wanted to see if it would hold up. My buddy Morse was the strength coach with the Browns. He said, this guy is crazy, you know. So they wanted to find out if this thing would hold up, and it must have held up because, I mean, you know.
And it's still okay now?
Yeah.
Wow.
You see the scar, and you see the scar, and you don't believe me.
Oh, I believe you. Yeah. Wow.
He seen me do stuff up.
And so when you got your shoulder replacement, how long did you wait before you started lifting heavy again?
I started benching in 1 week. I started a broomstick in 1 week.
That's so crazy. How much were you benching in 1 week?
Not a broomstick, but in 3 months, I benched 300.
That's so crazy. That's crazy. Well, in that case, I got to think steroids helped your recovery.
That's right.
Well, that's one of the best things for it, right? Is recovery for injury. And that's one of the best arguments for athletes.
And nuts, too. You just can't sit around. The doctor tell you don't do nothing for 8 weeks. That's why I don't go to doctors. 90% of them ought to be in a lake because they're quacks. So, you know, they're surgeons. That's all they know. They don't know nothing, but they're experts on everything. So I don't listen to doctors.
Well, that's one of the best arguments for steroids is post-injury recovery, right?
It was for concentration camp victims in World War II, 1939, where anabolics came up.
For concentration camp victims?
That's right, when people come out of concentration camps and prisoner of war. That's what they made anabolic. That was the first thing they made them for.
Well, it's really good for people that have, like, wasting diseases. Well,
exactly.
And, yeah.
Same thing if you're in a prisoner of war camp.
And give you some sort of vitality back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you see guys that get injured and you see them try to do things without steroids, like especially injury recovery, I think that's one of the best arguments that, like, maybe when an athlete blows a knee out or something like that and gets surgery, they really should be allowed to use that kind of stuff.
How many athletes do you think are in America, professional athletes, all total?
Quite a few.
1,000 or 1,500, 2,000?
Probably more.
There's a couple million older men taking testosterone replacements. So that's my argument. Why would you not let an athlete? What is the difference?
Right.
I mean, that's what I just said. But I don't care if you don't want to take them, fine with me. I don't give a damn. You don't want to eat a protein shake, you don't want to eat right, I don't care.
Well, when it comes to eating right, like what kind of diet do you subscribe to for athletes?
I really don't subscribe. I eat eggs and meat in the morning, and I eat pretty good. You know what I mean? I eat a lot of chicken and rice. I mean, I'm not into the good food. I've seen people eat real clean. They have no aggression. So, like a lot of bodybuilders, you know, if you eat super clean, it seems like they have no aggression. And, you know, if you're like what I do outside of throwing punches or kicks, it's the same. It's a fight. Mm-hmm. And you got to fight these big weights.
Right.
You got to stare them down. You got to lift them. And you got to do it over and over and over. Just like, you know.
A lot of intense aggression.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, do you think that's the lack of cholesterol in the diet, the lack of fats?
It may be, because I've just seen, I mean, you know, I've been around too many, people, bodybuilders. Also, they were the one that had the side effects. You get around the only guys that have no facial hair and, you know, or no body hair, it seems like those were the ones that I've known over the years that have those side effects. A little bit of drugs will give them side effects. And the other people, you know, they always talk about taking stuff for gyno. I've never taken anything, my God, darn life. I've never needed anything.
For gyno, when
men. You get a real tough-looking guy, he'd never have any problem taking roids because they already got testosterone. It's not something new to their system.
But guys who get gyno, it's just because they have a ridiculous amount of testosterone, and then your body starts producing estrogen to balance it out, right?
I think they're high on estrogen anyhow.
Oh, so you think it's just...
Exactly.
Huh.
Because I've seen guys with big, thick beards, rough kind of guys, they don't have no problem. They don't have any problem. I'm just telling you what I see.
Right, no, I get it.
I'm not putting it in lab. I'm only telling you what I've seen in through my gym in the years that I've seen guys. The guys that get whacked out on drugs, where the guys are very... you know, not feminine, but almost kind of good.
Now, when the person who doesn't power lift or people who are unaware of the sport, and they think of a bodybuilder doing the same kind of things that a guy like you would do. That's what they think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case.
No. It's not even close.
What is the big difference between bodybuilders and
powerlifters? Bodybuilders is a hypertrophy sport. They do high repetitions, and they eat different, and they take other things different to get very big. And then we don't want to get big. We're just like you. We want to stay in the smallest weight class we can and get as strong as we can. There's a saying, big ain't strong, strong is strong. So we just want to be strong. So everything we do is not to build larger muscle. Like I work with track people, mostly girls. We don't want to put 10 pounds extra body weight on. It's 10 pounds of extra weight to have to overcome gravity run down a track.
Right.
So we keep your body weight to a minimum. You know, the muscle mass, we just want to make it stronger. You don't have to get bigger to be stronger.
That's confusing to a lot of people because a lot of people think of big muscles meaning stronger. And that's the only way to get stronger. But I've seen some people in powerlifting competitions that just lift insane amounts of weight and they're not that big.
Right.
Well, how is that possible?
But muscle type. You know, you're always talking about you. I've always mentioned you a few times. You talk about like Wooly. And say he's all muscular. He runs out of gas real quick.
Who?
Tyrone.
Tyron Woodley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has, they're playing in the same. They got a pretty much the same amount of muscle mass. He just has very fast twitch muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And another guy, you're talking about endurance, may have more slow twitch muscle. And then so that guy, that's why he can fight five rounds and Tyrone where it starts wore out somewhere in the second round.
Well, it's also because a guy like Tyron is capable of putting out so much energy. Like the way he can attack guys and move so fast, it's like having a 500 horsepower engine versus having a 400 horsepower. One's going to just use more gas.
That's right. Well, it's faster. That's why you got sprinters and you got marathon runners, and they look totally different.
Yeah. And so when someone looks at a bodybuilder and they see this guy's just covered in muscles, they assume that guy would be able to lift a ton of weights.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, those guys can't lift nearly as much weights as a guy like you can.
No.
That's crazy to people. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, like a lot of things are crazy to people that aren't in the know.
Same
thing with what we're mentioning about those anabolic steroids.
Frustrate you that this lack of understanding that the general public has about this stuff?
Absolutely. You know, you ever look at the Olympics? We look at our weightlifters, Olympic weightlifters. We don't go to the Olympics. I hope we never do. I hope powerlifters never get in the Olympics. They're sending the worst lifters ever. But they said our Olympic weightlifting team is pretty bad. We can't get a guy on the A team. All right. And they're just not very good. You look at our women gymnastics people. They're extremely strong. They blow everybody out of the water. You go to China, their male weightlifters and female are tremendously muscular, and they kill everybody, but their gyms look pathetic. It's because they're all in different systems, you know. You've got better coaches and better systems to take stuff.
So, American doesn't have good Olympic powerlifters?
Olympic weightlifters.
Weightlifters.
We rule the world. Powerlifters in this country, American weightlifters are not very good.
They're not?
No, terrible.
Really?
No.
I did not know that.
There was one girl what got a bronze in Olympic. One girl got a bronze. We in my sport, there's 12 male weight classes. We hold 7 of the total records. My gym holds 2. And in women, there's 10 weight classes. America holds 9 of the 10, and my gym holds 5. I have the strongest male powerlifter that ever lived, period, and the best, and the strongest female in the very same gym.
Now, what about shit like those strongest men contests?
Oh, well, they're strong-ass guys.
Yeah, but that's a different thing entirely as well.
Well, it's
another
different
thing. Right.
Like, boxing's different than MMA.
Right.
Yeah. Muay Thai is different than boxing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You never see a Muay Thai guy that's going to win a world boxing championship.
Right.
And vice versa.
Well, I think it has happened. What the fuck is his name?
Oh, there was a kid, though. I mean, actually.
Olympic gold medalist from Thailand.
Pacquiao. I think he's in New York. He might have been a Muay Thai champion, is that right?
Oh, Chris Algieri.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He was a kickboxing champion
good
time,
footwork.
Too. Yeah.
Good footwork.
That's
amazing.
So what the fuck is his name? I forget his name, but there was the guy that Jean-Claude Van Damme is always supposed to fight. Jean-Claude Van Damme pretends he's going to have a fight. He's going to have a kickboxing fight with this Thai guy.
Oh.
And that, but that guy won a world title as a Muay Thai fighter and as a boxer. Wow. But that's pretty rare. Yeah. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
But now, like, what would be the difference? See, like, if you see, like, if you had a guy coming to you that wanted to win, like, a strongest man competition, that seems like something that would be right up your alley. Because you're so good at preparing fighters and understanding the different demands of different sports.
My friend in Finland, his name's Sakari, he's got four guys in that gym of deadlift over 900, and they're all strongmen. And he does a lot, he trains a lot of strongmen. All right, I'm not into that, but he told Tom and I that one thing, he sprint with 1,000-pound wheelbarrows, 1,000 pounds on wheelbarrow. We do a lot of wheelbarrow work, and also to carry heavy yokes. So that's two of the primary things to get them to be strongmen.
What's a yoke?
A yoke is a thing put on your back, and you walk around with it. Like if you walk around, we do an enormous amount of walking with bars, with bands and chains hanging off, so it's unstable,
mm-hmm.
because that's what you have to be.
Right.
You got to be stable in an unstable environment, so they walk a half a mile, stuff like that, on our basketball, that's what it gets them strong.
Is that why you like wheelbarrows? Because it's almost like a deadlift that you got to kind of walk with?
And
is that what it is?
You got to control it. Like Dorian Price, a real good Muay Thai fighter. Dorian thought that really helped his
plum
clinch.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, did you come up with the idea of using wheelbarrows?
Used a wheelbarrow in 1990.
And it's just something that looked to you like a good unstable platform.
Yeah, and it builds up your extreme energy, building up your back and grip. You know, you got to have a grip,
right?
So you know, most you guys got great grips anyhow. But it builds up grip and it builds up all your muscles and you're walking. See, a lot of guys do strength and conditioning. I believe it's got to be combined. You don't have that much time because fighting is a tremendous skill. You need all your. The world's strongest man ain't the damn MMA champ, you know.
Right.
So I believe you got to strength and condition at the same time. That's why we do so much outside walking. We're doing heavy carrying objects walking. So we're conditioning and strength training.
Do you pay any attention to Mariusz Pudzianowski?
Oh, sure.
You know what he's doing now? He's fighting MMA?
Oh, I knew he did. I didn't know he's still doing it, but I remember when he went to the strongman, he went to that.
Yeah, he hasn't given up. He's been doing it for quite a long time now, and he's actually beaten some pretty good guys at this point. He knocked out Hollis Gracie in the first round. he lost to Tim Sylvia, but that's a fight that he never should have taken.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Tim Sylvia is a big giant former UFC heavyweight champion.
Yep.
But you know, you see Tim's got like a lot of body fat on him. He's not like the most gifted athlete in terms of like Randleman is like a freak athlete. He was, when he was alive, rest in peace, he was a great guy. I love Kevin. But he was probably one of the biggest like natural genetic freaks I've ever seen. Tim's not that. Tim's just hard work,
right,
and dedication and just toughness. And he beat the fuck out of Mariusz Pudzianowski. Yeah. It's kind of funny when you see the two of them together.
I might have saw that fight.
Yeah, he might have.
He started out kickboxing, didn't he? Before he even went into, I think he kickboxed when he was a kid.
Pudzianowski?
Yeah.
Did he? Maybe.
He went
into
strongman somehow. Huh?
He was a boxer?
Boxer. Okay.
Boy. You would not believe it when you see him hit the pads when he was starting out. It was like,
look how big he was.
Yeah, it's like almost like, you know, he's weighing himself down, like throwing weights all over his body and trying to move himself. It wasn't, but my point being, he's actually transitioned, has become a legitimate professional MMA fighter who's, you know, beaten some guys. He's not bad. I mean, he's not, no one's going to say he's a threat to the UFC heavyweight title, at least at this point in time. But it's interesting to me because he's still 300 plus pounds. He's still a massive, massive guy.
Yeah.
And he's fighting. All these events are all places where I don't think they test him, too, which is interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Sylvia, when he was at his best, when he won the title against Rico Rodriguez, was on some shit. But he was—he looked so different back then. He didn't look like a doughy sort of heavy guy.
Look at Overeem.
Overeem is the best example.
Yeah.
Overeem. Yeah, when Overeem came to the UFC, when he fought Brock Lesnar, and, you know, it was kind of the Wild West of testing. Back then, all you had to do was pass the post-fight test. That's it. Mm. That's all you had to do. Which was, you know, like you were saying, if you take Anavar and you just get off it for 8 days, you're clean.
Yeah.
You know, but the effects were obviously still there, you know.
That's exactly. You know, I mean, Anavar's always been the drug of choice for collegiate wrestlers, you know, way back years ago.
Because of the fact it gets out of your system so quickly?
No, because it keeps your body weight down. You want to take, the difference between bodybuilding, they take drugs that you know that on low calorie diets that he can maintain muscle mass. See, that's the difference. And you know, everybody thinks there's only one kind of anabolics. Why does a bodybuilder look like they do, and why does a power, you know, why they look different if they're taking the same drugs? Because the training's totally different.
Yeah, that's one
and
of the
power intake's totally different.
One of the big dirty secrets about vegan bodybuilders, like almost all vegan bodybuilders, are taking something, and the reason being is because of the fact they're not getting enough cholesterol, they're not getting enough saturated fat in their diet, and so your body just does not want to produce that kind of muscle mass. So those kind of guys are almost all taking something in order to put that kind of mass onto their body.
Mm-hmm. You know, see, I train two Olympic gold medal sprinters. All right, I've trained all kind of people. And so it's not like it's just been around powerlifting. I mean, everyone I know, you know, there's a like, you know, we'll get back to the drug test. You ever think about the Olympics, see world records at the drug at the Olympics? Mm-hmm. See world records, right?
Yeah.
Well, if we're breaking the world records drug-free, why do you need drug testing? Maybe one of your callers could call me up and tell me that one.
Well,
because they're passing the drug test.
Right. Well, they're also catching them from previous years now. You hear about the Russians? Those two guys from 2008 that got their gold medals pulled from them?
Oh, yeah, that's bullshit. You know.
It's bullshit?
Yeah.
It's bullshit because you think other people were doing it, too.
Of course.
But Russia has a very sophisticated anti-doping program that's state-run.
Oh, Americans are virgins?
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, exactly.
But America, I don't think, is so blatant about their endorsement of drugs. I think America kind of knows about it, but they can't like come out and say it or come out and...
If you're overseas, the fan just wants to know what place you got. They don't care how you got it.
You don't think they care?
No, of course not.
Overseas?
No, because it's done by the state.
Jesus.
It's done by the state.
Right.
Isn't that what the problem was? Russia was guilty because it was state-funded drug administration. Okay. They're doing the same thing everywhere.
Well, not just that. Russia's killing the scientists. All the scientists that know about it, a giant percentage of those guys have been shot in the fucking head. Have you been reading about that?
No.
Oh, they're dropping like flies. Yeah, all these guys, because once Russia got in trouble, they were in danger of being eliminated from the Rio Olympic Games. Well, you know about that, right?
They did.
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't. They allowed them in.
No, there was no weightlifters. They forgot how many people. A couple hundred Russians did not go.
Oh, really?
And you know, and a girl here in America, it's a high jumper, I think, or a pole vaulter, was tested 33 times in 3 years. That's bullshit.
Wow.
That's total bullshit.
I had Victor Conti on my podcast. You know who he is, the Balco guy?
Of course I know who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pushed all the roids forever, and then he's a drug tester.
Well, now he's
a mass murderer,
advocate.
You know, okay.
He's reformed.
Oh, of course.
He's here for peace now.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's an interesting case, right? Because he was a guy that developed a designer steroid that was undetectable.
Which they still have.
You think they still have those?
How they breaking world records and not bunking the drug test. You know, I was born at night, Joe, but I wasn't born last night.
See, I was, and I like to believe that people are just hardworking folks who eat right.
You just keep believing that.
Yeah. Do you think it would be better if everybody just came clean and everybody just did whatever they wanted to do?
Exactly. I really do. I think you're still, why is your dad, why possibly is your father on going to an H&N clinic and taking testosterone growth hormone? If it was that damn bad, your dad wouldn't be going there. There's a couple million people. I know you're a stat guy. There's probably over 2 million people doing that annually. Why are they doing it?
That's a good point. It certainly helps you.
It makes your brain function. Everything's better. It really is.
Right.
Your drive, your muscle, you got more muscle. You got better bone density. You got better sex drive. You get better drive, period.
Better immune system.
My mind has never changed. That's my whole freaking problem. My brain's never changed since I was like 16.
So your brain still functions the same
way. Same way.
And you think a lot of that
in the face. You ever get around a person and you just look at them and go, "I'm gonna kick your fucking ass," because I don't know why they just sometimes they get like cat brain. I just want to punch them. I can't do that.
Do you think that's roid rage?
It's not roid rage. It's just when I was born. I was that way when I was 10 years old. And I'm that way now. I just see, sometimes I just go, I want to, and you know it's weird because I can get around old man, no threat or nothing to me. I go, I want to punch this guy in the face. I'm serious. I mean, I know it sounds, but then I go, I can't do that. You know, I know I can't do that, but I'm going, oh, fucking.
Because they're annoying.
Some women. I want to choke his bitches.
Jesus.
You say one more word, I'm going to choke your ass. I mean, I don't. There's enough in my brain to say, no, you're going to go to jail if you do that.
Yeah.
But that's how I've never changed.
Right.
And I don't know if that's a, you know, sometimes I think, gee, I wish I'd change and be a little bit mellow like I'm supposed to be.
Well, a lot of 68-year-old guys, they're slowing down, yeah. And they don't have a lot of zest for life.
Grandpa turns into grandma.
Yeah. It does happen, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't it kind of weird, too, that you can go to, like, any kind of, you know, nutrition store or vitamin store, and the shelves are filled with muscle builders and recovery this and growth hormone that.
And fake testosterone.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and a lot of them turn out to be steroids.
No, that's true. But then you go to, it's against the law.
Well, it is against the law, but USADA has a page. And when we had Novitski on the podcast, this is when I found out about this, I was blown away. Because they have lists. What was it like? It was over 1,000. Like more than 1,000 different products that have steroids in them, mm-hmm. that people are buying under the guise of just being some natural muscle builder. Well,
there you go. So there's probably thousands of people out here in America that said they're against taking drugs, but they're taking drugs.
Right. Well, there's certainly a lot of people that, well, you know, there's a lot of people that are taking drugs and they don't want to admit they're taking drugs. Like, people want a drug-free America, but they want to drink beer and they want to drink coffee and they want to smoke cigarettes. All these things are drugs.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, I've said that you go to a football game like Ohio State and you got 100,000 drunks boozed up and smoking cigarettes watching 22 athletes on the field that are clean. That didn't make any sense. They can't drive out the parking lot.
No, so do you think that even for high school athletes that like steroids are a good idea?
I think when you're able to vote, you ought to be able to do anything you want. I'd say at 18 years old, if you could drink, why couldn't you take roids? If you're, I still believe there should be the draft. I think that's what's wrong with America today. There's no draft. There's not enough people that have a father figure in this country, and I think if they win the Army, you eventually have a father figure. I was a block tender 12 years old. I tended block during summer vacation, and then during school, the guy would pick me up, and I actually knock holes out. That thing there is called a knockout. I would knock out these blocks and put it in a wheelbarrow and take it out.
What's a block tender? What does that mean?
A block tender, I carried block and mixed mortar. I built
so scaffolds. Cement block.
Yeah, 12 years old.
12?
It's 12 years old. I started working at 12 years old. I got a Social Security card 12 years old. That's right.
Wow.
That's how I grew up. And I grew up by, if I want to make money, I got to work. No, I had nothing. And, my parents had money, but they party. They were party animals. And so I didn't get nothing. I bought everything I've ever owned since I was 14 years old. No one's ever given me nothing. People, these guys, I pay them to lift. You know, if they world record or get on our board down there, they get money. I would never take any money. I never took nothing. These guys get protein. They get free gear. I never took nothing. I don't owe anybody anything. When I die, I won't owe anybody anything.
So you think that, like, by saying that the draft exists, like forcing people into the military, forcing them to serve, would at least give them some discipline and give them, like, make them understand what hard work really is?
This country has no discipline. what's going on with the police force, in America today, it's just a lack of common sense, and I mean an authority. They don't represent authority. I grew up, I remember when I used to play baseball. I'd tell people the story. I was like 12 years old, and we played this game. If you hit a ball out of the yard, you're out. But if you hit inside the yard and got the second scored, you scored a run. It was just you against me with a neutral pitcher. And I slid into second base. I was 12 years old, and my neighbor was a high school senior. I remember he probably like 220 pounds. And he gets up and he said, "You're out." And I said, "I'm safe." And he's slapped me hard as he could slap me. And he goes, "You're out." I was out. I couldn't kick his ass. That's how I grew up. A pecking order. No one knows what a pecking order is. Know where you are.
But is that good for society to have that kind of a pecking order?
We wouldn't be ran over by all these countries right now if we had a pecking order. Look at the pecking order now. They're all, you go to school because you got bullied. I got kicked out of school in the first grade. Okay, not for a day. I got kicked out for the first grade. A kid stole my shoe. I went home and told my dad. I said, "Hey, this guy stole my shoe. It was on the other side of Columbus here, on the east side." And he says, "Well, I'll tell you what." He says, "If you tell me that tomorrow," I basically said, "If you tell me that tomorrow, we'll kick your ass." So I go to school. Kid tries to take my shoe. I punch him, get in a fight with him. The teacher breaks it up. I end up punching the teacher. So they take me down to the principal's office, and they said, you're kicking you out of school. So my mom says, for how long? I said, we're kicking him out of school. I'm in the first grade. So we moved across town over here on the west side of Columbus, you know, west side of Barbara. But he wouldn't let me in school. I had to sit out a freaking year. I didn't start to school until I was 7 years old.
Wow. From punching a teacher.
That's right.
What kind of teacher can't take a six-year-old's punch?
Exactly. Especially back then.
Yeah. That seems ridiculous.
But I still think, but you know, no one has it. You know, there's no trades in America. You know, they're talking about this now. No one, you don't have any tradesmen. If they went in the Army, at least you get 2 years, you can get a couple years of college, free education or something. Get something from the government instead of a handout from the government.
Well, some people think that it would be, that mandatory military service would be good because then they would realize the consequences of war. They would really understand it, like Israel does. Like Israel, everybody has mandatory military service, right. And their patriotism is at a very high level because of that, because they realize like they're all connected in this giant army. When the army goes to war, that literally is them.
Mm-hmm. I believe the same thing. I just think it would change, and I think, you know, like I said, this country's so sick. You know, your kids are bullied. They got these things because your kids bullied. Well, you know, I'd rather be the bully than to be bullied. I bullied everybody I could, and the bigger people bullied me. That's just the way it was.
Is that good, though?
I know my role. I know where right, I stood in society. I wasn't a little bitch and acted like I run my mouth to you and you touch me. You know what I mean? I go call the cops.
Right.
No, you beat my ass up. I said, fuck, that guy beat my ass up. That's just the way it goes. I mean, I got 13 teeth, okay? How you think?
Jesus Christ.
That's why I got 13 teeth from running my mouth. And I don't have no regrets. I don't have regrets. It taught me lessons.
But is that the only way to learn lessons, though?
I think it's a damn good way. I think it's a good one. You can't think you're something that you're not.
Or right.
You
just That's can't. True. That is a problem.
You know, just know what you really are. That's all that matters.
Well, I think a lot of people think there's something other than what they really are because they're not tested. Because they're not, you know, I mean, how many people in this life go through difficult physical struggles on a regular basis? It's one of the main things that human beings, especially men, mm-hmm. one of the main thing that men lack in life is very difficult physical struggles that test your character.
Exactly right.
But being a bully doesn't test your character.
Well, somebody got to be a bully. What's all UFC fighters?
In the
cage.
Well, once they get in there. But that's competition.
I know. I mean, I know they're great guys outside the cage.
Yes.
You know, Matt Brown, you know, they're all nuts. You know,
he's a great guy.
They get crazy looking eyes real quick. If you
he's got crazy way. Eyes.
That's right.
Yeah, you fuck with Matt Brown, that's a
yeah.
big mistake.
But, I mean, that's a test. And you got to be tested.
Yes.
And you know what? It don't like I say the old thing, it don't matter if you get knocked down, can you get back up?
Yeah.
Nothing. I've got back up 2 million times. I never, you know, I don't give a damn. I mean, honestly, it don't matter. You know, like I always said, like if Kevin Randle beat my ass, well, so what? He beat 100 other people's ass. I'm just that long list. So if he beat my ass, would I feel bad? No. I kind of feel honored. Oh, I got Kevin Randle to kick my ass.
Well, that's because you could overcome that kind of shit. You've been through shit like that before. You understand what it's like to have a bad moment in life, and it's not going to wreck you.
But
you
that's
could,
what
you
I say.
Brush yourself off.
Yeah. That's the problem with people when their children get bullied. And they send them some kind of school because they're bullied. I would be
right.
embarrassed. And my father sent me, because I got bullied, I mean, I blew my own brains out.
Do you have kids?
No. I knew I should have never had kids, so I never had kids.
Wow. How'd you manage to get through without knocking up one chick?
My wife didn't want to have kids, and I didn't want to have kids. And she grew up pretty poor, and like four or five brothers. Her mom raised her because her dad got killed in a car wreck at two. And I never wanted kids. And I mean, my life's full, okay? I don't have time for kids. I wouldn't have time to be a good father. I knew that. So why would I have kids?
Well, that's a very rational way of looking at it.
I've been married like 43 years. And I
wow.
managed to do that because I date a lot.
Jesus. That's a smart way of looking at it. Do you have, like, when you look at your life, I mean, at 68 years old, you've accomplished so much, you have this great reputation in powerlifting and, you know, just in helping people and athletes, especially in MMA. I mean, when I talk about you to the MMA fighters who know you, you have a fantastic reputation. I mean, people just, they just nod their head and like, that guy's the shit. You know, he knows his stuff. Do you have goals at this point in your life?
Yeah, I still got goals because we got to keep a couple products I want to get out before I die, you know. I've got a mechanical reverse hyper that you talk about. It should be in hospitals over the world.
A mechanical one, so it does it without you lifting weights? Is
yes.
that the idea?
I could stand you up, and it will put you in place. It can move your legs back and forth till you get well. Then it would assist it. Then it would it would have resistance.
So for someone who's like maybe too weak to actually lift the weights up themselves?
Exactly. Like if you couldn't move your legs, this is your legs. I could move your leg. You say, okay, that's it. And okay, that's it. Then week after week until we finally get that full range of motion. Once we gain full range of motion, then we could put a resistance, mechanical resistance, for you picking up 2 pounds, 3 pounds, or whatever. But the static dynamic developer I'm coming out with is going to revolutionize strength training for every sport.
Well, I'm interested to see that. Do you have that here?
No, we've got it on film. We can show you a little bit on film if you can. But when you feel it, you would not believe it.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm very curious to see what that's like.
Yeah, and I got one more book coming. I'm writing a track book right now, and then I'm pretty much done with this. Got to send it to the editor and have it.
Track and field?
Just a track, not field, just track for sprinting and long distance.
And just about developing strength for
developing strength and reducing injuries. There's so many injuries in it.
Now, what about an MMA? Do you think there's a way to reduce injuries in MMA through powerlifting?
I think they spar too much.
Really?
Yeah. I think they spar a little bit too much, probably. And then I used to talk to guys way back in the military camp was big. And a guy, because it was 95% a fight.
Yeah.
You know, he would go there. He was a K-1 fighter. And he said, I think you got to slow some of that down because, they say in boxing, it's the fights that don't get you. It's the sparring.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Cut some of the sparring. Work on skill and, work on your skill.
Well, it's interesting they say that because that's the trend now. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who's never looked any better than he does right now, he's on a tear. He said he stopped sparring. Huh. He doesn't spar. He says, all I do is do drills. He goes, I already know how to fight, or I know I'm tough. He goes, I don't waste myself in the gym.
We have the greatest squatters bar ever in the history of the sport, and we don't squat. We sit on boxes. We don't do regular squats.
What do you mean?
We sit down on a box like you're sitting on a chair. We roll back and then stand back up. That's how we do all of our training until we go to a contest. Then you got to do a squat. We don't do any regular deadlifts with a rope, a bar, and real weights. None. And our top five average is 890, and top 10 is 866.
So what do you do if you don't do regular deadlifts?
We do bands over the bar in power racks. We use two or three different
bands over the bar, meaning elastic bands.
It's 220 pound tension. Like if you picked up 200 on the bottom, you stand up, it's 440.
Right.
Okay. Or we got stronger bands. We use all these different kinds of bands, and we just do a lot of stuff like that.
So what that means to people that are listening to this, when you have these elastic bands on the bar, it makes it more difficult when you get up to the top of the range of motion. That's the same with chains, too, right?
Yeah, but it's better than chains. It's called accommodating resistance, but it builds tremendous acceleration. If you use a lot of band, you have tremendous acceleration at the very bottom because, you have to outrun the bands.
Right. So, yeah, you have to outrun the bands, and then when you get to the top, it becomes more difficult. Mm-hmm. So when you have just a regular deadlift or a regular squat that doesn't have any of those bands, at the end you have more horsepower.
Exactly.
Huh. So you don't do any regular squats or any regular deadlifts?
No.
And you think that helps your athletes, that preserves athletes as well?
The greatest squatters, the greatest male-female powerlifter. We had a number one, number two greatest squat of all time. And I've got a 165, I think, he's going to be the greatest squatter of all time. I think he can squat 955 pounds at 165.
955 pounds at 165, that's insane.
He's done 890, he did that easy.
That's incredible.
To keep him out of jail.
Oh, he's crazy?
Yeah, a little bit.
How weird. Wow.
Let's just say he's crazy.
I understand. Yeah, well, I would imagine. Well, I mean, isn't that the case with almost anybody who's like at the very top levels of anything?
Normal people only give you normal results.
Ooh, that's a good quote. That's a good quote. That needs to be a meme.
That's right.
Normal people only give you normal results.
And I don't need normal people.
Yeah. That's an interesting way of looking at it. Well, I mean, that's what I was saying before, that you're kind of insulated because you're in this world of savages, like in your attitude about things. Like, this is not an attitude that most people have in 2016. Everybody's worried about everybody's feelings. Everybody's worried about being sensitive. Mm-hmm. This is the time of toxic masculinity. People are worried about masculinity. Strange, right? For a guy like you, isn't it strange?
I mean, dude, I think the world's screwed up, man. I told Tom to buy all these books from Strowman back in 1900, and they all look like MMA fighters today. men don't look like that today like they did back then. You know, long before roids, they looked like they were loaded to the gills, and there wasn't any roids back then. You know, it's probably food was better, maybe, I don't know. But they all had an attitude, and everybody looked like they'd kick your ass. So I just, I don't know. Like I said, the world's too soft, man. It's got to be hard. You know, world, you can't have an easy life, because once things get hard, you're screwed.
Right, you're not accustomed to it.
I see that in my sport. I watch guys who accelerate them so fast, and it gets hard to quit. Be like in a fight, say, oh, I'm done, I just quit.
Right.
A tap. I am. I'm out of here. You know, punch me in the face one time. I'm done with that stuff.
Right.
That drives me insane. Because we work hundreds of hours to get these guys super, super strong, and then they quit.
But doesn't that make you appreciate a guy like a Matt Brown or someone like who is like a legitimate savage?
I got a lot of respect for Matt Brown. I got a lot of respect for all fighters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, any fighter, I don't care what level, but they get in the UFC cage, I got a lot of respect for them.
But in 2016, that's a rare type of person, right, in this ever-softening world.
Don't you think that's why MMA is so popular? Because everybody wants to be that, but they don't want to go through that work.
It's also they recognize how unique it is.
Yeah.
They recognize, I mean, there's a lot of people that I'm friends with that like MMA that they don't have those qualities themselves. Mm-hmm. So they appreciate them in other people.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always admired fighting. I'm a huge boxing fan, like Triple G and guys like that.
Me too.
You know, so Roman Gonzalez, classical boxers. I mean, I like the classic because, you know, you go try to do it, it's not easy to do. That footwork is insane.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody thinks, oh, that's just a brutal, even boxing, that's a brutal sport. And they think MMA is, I don't know what they think that is. But, dude, there's a lot of, so much technique.
It's more technique than anyone would ever really imagine.
It's ridiculous.
You know, another thing that fighters are getting into a lot lately is yoga.
Yeah.
That's a big one. Did you ever mess with that?
Well, no, I haven't. I probably should. I know Matt was doing yoga, right? Hot yoga?
Yeah.
We got some track girls to do hot yoga. They say it's really, really good.
Well, it's a great thing for your back. That's one of the reasons why I brought it up. It's amazing for, like, lengthening your spine. There's certain decompression exercises that you do in yoga where you grab, like, the bottom of your heels from underneath, and you're pulling and straightening your legs out. You literally feel your back going, like, pop, 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 pop. Like, I do it all the time, and I can feel my back, especially, like, in the middle. I feel it separating,
wow.
And it makes, like, a little pop, almost like you're getting adjusted by a chiropractor.
Hmm.
Is that something that you would recommend to your athletes? Is that something you might think about?
Can help. If it's not an advantage, it's a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can help a person, I want them to do.
Now, what about other kinds of therapy, like cold therapy, ice baths, cryotherapy, things along those lines?
I've had prototherapy, you know, stem cell, platelet injections. If you could think of it, I've done it. I want you to get in. I don't want your readers to hear everything I've done because they would probably have me locked up.
Like, what have you done that would have you locked up?
I've used arsenic and strychnine injections.
What? Strychnine?
Arsenic, strychnine.
Arsenic and strychnine.
That's right.
Why would they inject you with poison?
Because it raises your red blood cell count. I've used nitroglycerin cream.
Nitroglycerin cream?
Yeah, because, you know, it'll stimulate blood flow and start your heart up.
Right.
And I use it because I broke my back, and I didn't want to admit I broke my back the second time. So I use it, and I told my friend, who was a professor at Ohio State, I says, don't go anywhere. We'll see what this does. I mean, I was ready to beat for 3 hours. It felt like you were hitting me in the head. Every heartbeat just hit me in the temple. And But I've done it all. There's nothing I haven't tried. I did electric stimulation. I think it's called Make-A-Wave. It lengthens out the muscles. Tom did it for, 15 seconds? I did it for 96 minutes.
What does it do?
It lengthens out the muscles, literally straighten out your leg right off the ground. It's electrocuting you, and for 6 minute segments, and I did 96 minutes.
So it's electrical muscular stimulation.
Yeah, but
where
it
they
lengthens.
Put the pads on, it lengthens it.
Yes, and I should have never done it because I think I've got too many injuries, you know, and it basically tore, it popped my hips and my shoulders out of socket.
What?
Yeah.
It popped.
My hip bone sticks out. There's a knot right here. It's my hip bone.
You're crazy. Your whole body's like a walking medical encyclopedia of injuries.
You know, you got to try it, right?
Yeah, no, I guess.
What did Road Warrior say? Desperate men do desperate things.
Yeah. Now,
I've been very desperate over my life.
What's worked the best for you? Did stem cells work out well for you?
Well, I'm finding out because it's been about 3 weeks. I got stem cell in both hips and my knee and my shoulder.
And what's wrong with your hips?
Oh, just from squatting wide, just beating the crap out of myself.
It's all torn up.
I mean, I'm short and, you know, it's right. Real wide. So all your powers right here. Just like for fighting.
So it's just all wear and tear.
Wear and tear.
And do you feel any different?
So I think it's starting to work. See, I wasn't allowed to take anti-inflammatories. I've been on anti-inflammatories since 1991. Because I nearly died. See, when I tore my knee off, I'm allergic to anesthesia. So I went back in. They gave me a spine.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I went back in. They gave me a shot that said to calm me down for surgery. Take the wires out of my knees, out of my knee. And, it put me to sleep. And gave me anesthesia. So I ended up getting trached. Well, I'm jumping around. They're sticking chest tubes in me. And that's how I got thoracic outlet. They severed my intercostal nerves.
They severed your intercostal nerves.
Yeah, I've had at least five or six doctors tell me that's exactly what they did.
Oh,
and he stuck
God.
The chest tubes in me. Jeez. So at that point, 91, and I'm going to tell you about my gym, and this is why the training partners I had, I did stuff at 50 no one's ever done, and this is how. Because I was in intensive care for about 4 days, and I was in the hospital three more. I didn't need a trach. I could talk because I was strained all my life. So they take my throat shut. I got a hole this big. I got stitches in my side. They take me out of the hospital to the gym. That's on Tuesday. Well, that Sunday, I go to the gym, and I'm on crutches. I got my knee, you know. They find out around my knee, and he says, "You're maxing out, you know, motherfucker." And I says, "What?" And they laid me down. I've been 355.
Who are they? Who's they?
My training partners.
They're out of their fucking minds.
Exactly. They tried to kill me. Dave Casey, they tried to kill me. But that's what you got to have. You got to have people like that. They drove me to the point that when they told me to, if they told me to do this, they'd kick me out of my own gym if I didn't do it. They just tell me to mail the rent in.
That's just so ridiculous.
But that's what a training partner
mail the rent in. That is so ridiculous. Well, I understand your attitude now.
Well, you know, if you don't have an attitude, you don't have anything.
Yeah. I've had some great results with stem cells. I think stem cells are probably going to help you quite a bit.
You ever have it in the neck?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just had it in my shoulder. I had it in my knee and in my my hip.
Okay.
But the big one was my shoulder. Man, my shoulder. My hip was just a minor soreness that I was like, do it preventative. And it definitely had an impact on it. My knee, I just have an on and off pain for years in my knee. Completely cured that up. And my shoulder, it healed it like nothing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, I got from the brink of needing shoulder surgery to no pain at all.
Well, this shoulder, it gives out of place every freaking day. They got to put I separate my shoulder. I got a big guy puts it in. Every day, so I'm hoping.
Every day.
I could be put in every day.
What pops it out?
Just strained. I mean, just strained ligaments and tendons, I think, over the years.
So it's not even anything you're doing physically, like not even lifting weights?
It's just a constant wear and tear. You know, I mean, it's just like playing pro football, you know. I mean, but I've done this for all those years. I mean, I was a national record holder in 1971.
Right? Wow.
And then... So then 2003 or 4, whatever the hell, I don't know where it was, 2005 or something, I was still top 10.
Wow. So do you do any exercise at all now?
Yeah, I train just small crap.
Like, what do you do?
I got some bad. I'd like to walk on tires. I do belt squats. I had to quit deadlift because my knee was so bad, but I want to get back where I can deadlift. I love the deadlift. And deadlift, you know, just kick your ass. I mean, if you can deadlift, you can still fight.
Right.
If someone attacks me.
Right. Yeah,
which is quite possible.
Because the way you talk. After they hear this podcast.
Kick any old woman's ass.
Any old woman. On. Wow, that's amazing. Strong words. So, like when you lift weights today, like, you lift in max? Are you maxing out? Or
no.
Just,
no, I mean,
just
I get, just,
getting some exercise?
Because because my thing was squatting and deadlift. I was just, you know, top 10 squatter right off in my, you know, almost my first meet.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when the neck, if you're going to pass out, you just have to, you know, if it comes to time, you just got to stop.
Now, when you're talking about doing the reverse hyper with that neck yeah. harness on, does that help you?
We actually do a bunch more severe thing. We do neck deadlifts out of my belt squat machine with a neck harness.
What's a neck deadlift?
Well, you put a neck harness on this machine and you squat over and you stand up.
Oh, so you're deadlifting just with your neck?
With your neck.
How much weight are you doing that with?
On that machine, whatever the machine weighs, I've done about 40 pounds, which is a whole lot.
Yeah, 40 pounds is a lot to be hanging off of your neck.
Yeah, plus the cage.
Right.
What, 95 pounds?
195 pounds?
95
pounds. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. It seems to make me feel better.
It makes you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes your neck feel better?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because that would be like counterintuitive. A lot of people would think that. A lot of people think you shouldn't lift any weights with your neck. Like I talked to Kelly Starrett about it. You know that 8-way neck machine? You know that thing?
Oh, yeah.
He says don't ever do that. It's bad for your neck. And then I've talked to other people who are athletes, who are fighters, who said it's like one of the best things you could do for your neck.
You got that's so too. In the NFL, the problem, they don't train their neck anymore. Remember how big everybody's neck was?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do, Russell? If you was real big, what do you do, play football? You don't see that anymore. The neck is the two most vulnerable pieces, your lower back and your neck.
Right.
And no one trains them because they're afraid to.
Right. Well, that's what I keep hearing, that it's bad for your neck to lift weights with it, which seems so weird because it's not bad for your lower back to do deadlifts. It's not bad for your lower back to do, like, reverse hypers or Roman chair sit-ups or anything like that.
No, I think a guy called Paul Anders, he might be a strong human, never lived way back in the 50s, but he thought the neck was the most neglected muscle and it should be the most used muscle because what happens to us, we have bad necks.
Yeah.
Because you know, if you don't do anything, you'll get bad neck.
So do you think like it's a real issue with grapplers? Like grapplers almost always get cervical herniations.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a lot of that could be prevented if you just strengthened up your neck?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, my friend John Sater, I mean, to this day, 60-something, he gets out and does neck bridges for 5 minutes and does 500 Hindu squats. He's in his 60s.
500 Hindu squats in a row?
That's right.
That's insane.
He does that. He gets out of bed and he does that every day. 5 minutes of neck bridge and 500 Hindu squats.
That's amazing that he could do them in a row. Yeah. I could do 200 in a row, and then my fucking legs turn to rubber. Wow, I got to step up my game. 500? Wow. Yeah. And how old is he?
I'd say 62 or 63.
Is he on the shit?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Don't
you don't ask him? You don't talk to older guys?
I don't talk to about other people. He's an actual judo coach for 7 years.
Oh, okay. That's a big one for grappling. A lot of old school grapplers in particular love the Hindu squats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's amazing that he can still do neck bridges and everything like that. And he's that age?
Yeah, he's done. I mean, he's a black belt in judo, sambo, jiu-jitsu, and he's black belt in Japanese Muay Thai.
He still trains?
He trains all the time.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, he just had some hip surgeries, but he's back to now. I think he can roll around a little bit. So
wow, hip surgery, the replacement or what?
Yeah.
That's another real common one. Mark Coleman's got a hip replacement,
right,
too. So common, a hip replacement.
See, I go into a shoulder, but everything else lasted.
That's interesting.
Way past everybody else.
Well, what they're hoping now is that through the use of stem cells, that your body's going to be able to regenerate tissue in a lot of areas where it couldn't before, and that's going to prevent a lot of replacements and a lot of surgeries and a lot of things. They think that sometime in the future that stem cell-based therapies are going to eliminate a giant percentage of surgeries that people have.
Well, I hope so. That's why I did it.
Yeah. No, I hope so, too. I'm curious. I mean, if anybody's a canary in the coal mine, it's you.
Yeah. No shit. We'll find out one more time. I get well. I want to lift. I want to deadlift. I want to go to meet and deadlift.
So you just want to deadlift till you drop?
Yeah, that's what I do. I don't know anything else.
Well, is there anything else you want to say to all the people listening out here?
No, just good luck and don't be afraid to try. You know, keep trying. Never give up. People give up, man. They give up, and no one should give up.
Well, listen, man, you are a very unique character, and I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me and do this. And I've been wanting to talk to you for a long time.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for making that machine, because that machine has helped me so much. It built so much strength in my lower back and gave me so much relief from lower back issues that I had. I have one in my studio. Before I do the podcast, Jamie will tell you, I do that fucking thing all the time.
Good.
And anybody who's got a lower back problem, I go, come on back. And I show them it, and I'm like, this thing, get it, put it in your garage. You need one of these.
Yep. It's great. Well, man, I really appreciate you coming here.
Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Big fan.
Thank you, sir. So we're going to check out your gym. Let's go for a little tour of the gym.
Yeah.
We'll make a little video of that. And thanks, man.